I was a kid. I remember I was looking forward to taking civics, and I think it changed over to social studies.
That's interesting. I don't remember. I remember civics as the name of a class. I don't remember if I ended up actually taking that or whether I was actually in a social studies track there. But, yeah, no, it's just it's commentary that particularly when you hear, say, oh, let's do away with the Electoral College. Well, then they obviously have no understanding of the Founding Fathers trying to put together a system that worked forever. So, but it is what it is. And of course, there's, well, the other argument, Charlie, is there's much more history. You know, people would say that. Well, you didn't have as much history when you were a kid. No, no, there's much more history now, but it is true. People don't know. They don't know their background. If you don't know your background, you don't know where you're going.
Absolutely. If you don't know the basics, and that leads us to the quality of our senators and congressmen now serving. It's just scary.
Take your candy. Yeah, that's another interesting comment that I heard over the weekend. Was basically the argument for term limits. And I didn't used to believe in that because I believed if somebody was really good, well, what the heck. What happens is you really do lose sight. When you've been there for so long, you very often lose sight of the fact that you're coming from a district back in a state, and you become too entrenched in your own power, like you become the head of a powerful Senate committee or a congressional committee. And that takes precedence over where you're coming from. So I think I'm kind of leaning towards the reality that term limits is not a bad idea.
B2KNH. Yeah, I was also referring to the junior congressmen and congresswomen coming in that have no concept of the Constitution and what they're supposed to uphold, what the rules are, that they're not our lords and masters. But I agree with term limits as well because they get in there. I'd like to see their salaries be the only compensation they get. No insider trading. They can't make any other money, and then you'd only get people that wanted to do the job.
Yeah, Charlie, just stand by one. I have a landline. I'll try to get back. Can't you can't
me? Yeah, I just pulled into work, so I've got to run. But thank you for the company, Rich, and I'll talk to you again soon. Can you can it's clear? 73.
How are you?
Well, Hank, we've spoken before. I'm working today, but not really. It seems just about everybody's shut down.
Yeah, it's a pretty quiet morning, isn't it?
Well, considering they were predicting a few inches of snow last night, you know, light rain and 37 degrees, I'm happy.
I didn't realize they were predicting the snow was supposed to stick. At last I heard they were talking about it turning to rain, but I was listening during the TechNet, so maybe it was a little later forecast.
Yeah, it also depends on who you listen to, but, yeah, I wasn't really expecting it. I would have been surprised if there was snow this morning.
Yeah, very good. So what's new with you?
Well, not much. Same day-to-day work, service calls all over the island, and nice quiet weekend. HF was kind of dead on Saturday, but it picked up a little on Sunday on 20 meters.
I've got to get a working antenna so I can get on HF. I live in a townhouse, and unfortunately I can only put something in the roof, but I think I'm going to have to try to build a loop in the roof.
Well, I know there are some creative ways around it. I know there's a book that ARRL has on just your situation.
You know, I think I remember that. I'll have to look it up online, see what they've got.
Some people can get very creative. Or if you have a little outside balcony, something you can put up at night and and put back down a little vertical or something. Even a wire.
For a while I was running the gutter system, and then they did some work on it and it completely changed its characteristic. I can't get it to load anymore.
Somebody must have been on to you, and they just I'm just teasing. You know, what can you do? It's you work with what you can work with. And I'm in a two-family house. I have the downstairs apartment, a little bit of property, so at least I can play a little.
Yeah, a little space helps a lot, doesn't it? I had a, years ago, a two-story, or, yeah, it was two-story, it was a two-family home, and I was renting half of it, and I was able to stick a an antenna in the backyard, and nobody really seemed to mind, and that worked out quite well.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing now. I had a Chameleon MCOM 2, 60-foot wire, black. You can hardly see it. And that was up in the trees. Then I put it up on a push-up pole that I can push up and take down. And then I picked up a Gap Eagle vertical, and that's strapped to a mast off the back fence. And it's not too high, meshes in with the trees pretty well, and seems to work pretty good.
I've had a Challenger. I don't really remember what the Eagle looks like. Is that, maybe you can tell me a little about it.
Well, as you know, just a basic vertical dipole system. It's, I think, it's the shortest of the series. It's about 26 feet tall and just has a couple of, several different, you know, vertical dipoles off of it. It's just mounted vertically along the mast.
Okay, sounds like typical Gap stuff. By the way, I got to their factory once, actually twice, in Fellsmere, Florida, sort of an interesting place if you've ever ever been there. I took my Challenger to them when the wiring system had fallen apart, and they asked me to bring the whole thing in, and they basically rebuilt it. They replaced the capacitors and some of the internal wiring, and cleaned up the edges and made sure all the parts were there. It was kind of a neat thing, and even ended up with a new box when I was done.
Very nice and convenient. It would have been neat. You know, I wrote to them with some suggestions on improving the antenna system, because the major fault is the sheet metal screws they use. And being an aircraft assembly, you know, airframe, I said, all you have to do is put nut plates and, you know, and you can use machine screws, and you'll never have a problem with this thing. It'll last forever. It'll come apart. You know, it would solve the major issue with the antenna.
Did you get a response?
Nothing at all. It's like, you know, I told them just to talk to some airframe people or aviation. This is very simple to do, very easy. It'll improve your antenna tremendously, and no response at all.
Well, if you saw where they built it and how they built it, I think you'd understand why you got no response. It's literally, Fellsmere is to the west of I-95, underneath this the mossy covering of trees, and it's almost a stealth plant, if you know what I mean. It's not very industrial in its physical location.
All right. Well, I guess they have their system, and they feel it's been working all these years, and why bother? But, you know, just for a couple of dollars more, could have made it a much more, you know, flaw-free item.
The Air Force actually is one of their customers, and I know that the antennas that they built for the Air Force have come off a separate hand-assemble line. So there's some structural changes that occur with them, and I'm wondering if perhaps they perform that service for their military customers.
That's a possibility. You know, I thought maybe they'd be open to some, you know, helpful information, but what can we do? We try. Anyway, I just arrived back at my office, and I can't sit around in the parking lot talking on the radio.
All right, have a good day, N1YDY clear.
Which is I'd like to. All right, Hank. Maybe I'll catch you later when I run back out on the road. KD2KNH clear. You have a good day. 73. KD2KNH mobile. Still there, Hank.
KD2KNH, KD2OGB. Going on, Charlie?
Good morning, Craig. Well, I got back to work. I didn't make it out of the car, and I got another call I have to run right off to. So I do like the road traffic today. It's really nice.
Well, you got out of the office pretty quickly, I'll say that.
Well, you know, it's one of those days. You never know what's going to pop up. A lot of people closed, and a couple actual, enough actual work to keep me busy. So, should be a productive day. How was your weekend?
Pretty good. Just only one more day of vacation left until I go back to work. So, gotta enjoy it while I can.
Well, that's what vacations are all about, and long weekends if you have them. But, you know, we got warmer days coming. A lot more activity will be going on.
Yeah, spring's almost here.
Well, winters do seem like they're forever, but, you know, for some reason, this winter hasn't been so bad. When you get those miserable cold, you know, icy days, snowy days, and weeks on end, it wears on you, but I'm happy this winter.
Hey, look on the bright side. At least we still have not gotten any kind of blizzards, so we're almost there. We might get lucky.
Well, we have had them in March, but quickly passing, so no, not going to complain. We're very fortunate we don't get hit with anything really major here. Occasional hurricane once every 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, but Sandy, that was such a disaster. Let's hope that doesn't happen again.
Well, you can't do anything about the weather. You just have to adapt and move on. I mean, I know every hurricane we've ever had, we usually get flooding to within a block of our house. And to see what happened to houses just a couple of blocks further south towards the water. I mean, some were totally underwater, some still haven't been rebuilt.
Yeah, well, I would not want to see that with any of my friends, neither myself.
Well, it does happen, and occasionally it hits us. I mean, all over the country, you see the news, and it really doesn't affect you. You know, you feel bad for the people, but unless you're in the community, like when a tornado comes through and takes out a whole town, or you know, hurricanes devastate different areas, it's, you know, it's, you just can't fathom it, because we have such a great infrastructure to support us with these kind of things.
Yeah, but chances of tornadoes in New York are, like, very, very, very small. We've had, like, a very couple of, like, EF0s, but they were, like, hardly anything. Maybe, like, a couple of downed trees, but hardly anything at all.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get the big class three, four, and fives. You get little tiny, you know, hits here and there. But I'm just saying, like Puerto Rico, you know, when they got hit, I mean, they had nothing. They got no infrastructure to take care of themselves.
Yeah, unless you go farther out west.
Well, that's why our states do so well. I mean, we have the police departments, fire departments, and, you know, overlapping layers of, you know, people for community service and recovery. And when you really think about it, we really have a fantastic system.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm going to hop off. I'm going to go do some stuff on the computer. Good luck at the next call. I'll talk to you later. KD2KNH, KD2OGB, we're clear. 7-3, Charlie.
Hey, have a good day, Craig. And I'm just about at my next stop anyway, so I'll catch you later. KD2KNH, clear.
Cash. A new drone? No. It'll end up in a tree. Here's a better plan. Try straight talk wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month. All on America's best 4G LTE network. Plus, save up to $200 on a Samsung Galaxy S9 with in-store activation.
Tonight at 8:30 WQVL repeater system.
Thank you.
me.
Good morning.
Yeah, how are you doing this morning? A regular work day for you? No time off for the presidents?
No, I'm off. You know, just I'm running around doing stuff.
I'm glad you're off, because you needed the rest anyway. You're getting very old.
It does, they needed that.
I called Billy, but he was going to call Steve just to verify what he thought needed to be done.
Okay. You know, I have my own opinions on things, and that was one of them. The problem is there's a couple of things involved there, so I don't know what the best and easiest way to do this is.
Yeah, I'm not sure, particularly because you're not getting, what'd you say, you're getting a half a watt back on 72 watts going out?
Yeah, no, that's not the issue per se. Anyway, well, we'll find out. I'm not going to comment any further. It's speculation doesn't do any good.
Okay. Not a problem. So what's your shopping for today?
Yeah, I just got to pick up something at the pharmacy for a second.
Okay. I can't tell. I guess it's still kind of a drizzly.
Yeah, I don't think they are either, to be honest with you.
Well, after all, it is the weatherman, you know. 33% gets him a $5 million contract.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever works.
I guess so. All right. We go back and find a certain suit to fit a certain opening here. Good morning. I will catch you later. WB2ZSE, KTKNB.
WB2ZSE.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
On KD2KNH replying. Good afternoon. Tokyo High Power manual tuner.
Oh, that sounds nice. Have you played with it yet?
You know, not at all yet. Maybe tonight, tomorrow. I didn't need it, but, you know, I picked it up at a good price just in case somebody else in one of my clubs needs it.
Okay. When you said you picked up a tuner, I wasn't sure if you meant an antenna tuner or an albacore tuner.
All right. An antenna tuner. But, Tokyo High Power makes some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
I know the Hamfest was either yesterday or next Sunday, but I can't make either day, so I forget which one I can't make it. Was it yesterday? Or you're just saying that in passing, you just happened to pick it up now?
No, it was kind of a pre-sale for somebody selling things at the Hamfest next week.
Okay, so it is next week, but it's not completely coincidental. All right, fine. Just curiosity. So the way you were talking, I was wondering, did I miss the Hamfest? And I remember, it doesn't matter. I couldn't have made it anyway. Yeah, yesterday morning I was running around. Damn, I can't remember what I did on Saturday.
You know, I kind of wasted the weekend. Some weekends I just feel like it's time to recharge, and the wife and I sat around and didn't do a whole lot.
There is a tremendous therapeutic value to sitting and staring at the wall.
Yeah, some days you just need to recharge, and some weekends, but it drives me nuts because I'm so used to just bouncing around, always active.
I remember now. Saturday, I put it around the house most of the day. And in the evening, the XYL and I went to the South Pacific Ocean.
Oh, was there a Travel Channel special on?
Mexico, where I was heading. No, there was a little theater production of a Kane Mutiny. The Kane Mutiny Court Martial. I assume you're familiar with it. If you're not, I can give you a brief summary.
Right, yes. I'm assuming it turned out the same way, or did they put a new twist on it?
No, as a matter of fact, they were proud that every word is from the original screenplay that was written, like, in the mid-50s.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I haven't... Of course, I haven't followed it in many, many years, but I believe that there was a movie that came Mutiny as well. I don't believe I've ever seen a screenplay of it, but I hope it was good and you enjoyed it.
Yes, well, the movie, which was very famous, as a matter of fact, I made my kids watch it because I thought there were four or five old movies that my kids really should see, and that was one of them. But in any event, it was a very well-known movie, it's a classic, and it did include the court martial, and the play is really just the court martial. I'm not just about home, but let me tell you something that bothered me about the movie and the play, as opposed to the book. I've done all three. I saw the movie, I read the book, and now I've seen the play. But let me tell you about something with your approval.
Right ahead, standing by.
The key point of the story, it takes place on a World War II destroyer where the ship's officers become convinced that the commanding officer is imbalanced. Then when they're going through a typhoon and they realize the commanding officer is going to have them maintain the course even if the ship capsized, whereas all the rules of seamanship would have them changing course to ride out the storm, and in the end, they mutiny, and this comes to a trial. Now, the movie didn't mention the one thing that I thought was very critical. The next scene, you see the ship sailing into Pearl Harbor. In the play, somebody says, and you took this ship out of service at a critical time. Yet in the book, it's the exact opposite. In the book, they report to Fleet Headquarters what happened, and Fleet Headquarters says, listen guys, we need you desperately. You're going to have to work this out yourselves and report to the following location post-haste. And the only reason the trial is taking place because the ship gets hit by a kamikaze and it needs major repairs. It actually has to be towed to Pearl Harbor, and that's when they hold the trial. And I thought that was very, very important. The movie ignored it completely, and the play says the opposite.
82 KNH. Well, unfortunately, that's what happens, you know. Even if it's a different movie, you know, they'll change the whole major, theme of the book, you know. It's a shame.
Well, I suspect if they remade the movie today, half the movie would be the battle scenes between the mutiny and having to get told back to the Royal Harbor. In any event, I'm home. Any parting comments?
Katie, to refer you.
Always enjoying the story. glad you made it home. I'm just about to my next stop, so good to talk to you again, Ed. You have a good day. Katie, 2KNH, clear, 73.
Call you and George. Do I hear George with low audio?
Yeah, different radio here. And I was listening to this. It's interesting, and I just thought of a story called The Thomas Crown Affair. Movie, probably in the 70s or late 60s. And then they redid the movie about 25 years later. And although it was a book, and although it was a story that was written, the second movie had a totally different ending.
Yeah, I hate when they do that, don't you? Although, you know, they've often done a remake. I mean, there's a classic, an absolute classic, The Wages of Fear, French. It's been available with subtitles here and there. They remade it back in the 70s, starring Roy Scheider under the name of Sorcerer, which is basically the name somebody wrote on this beat-up old truck. And they threw everything but the kitchen sink in there, and you were so busy following all the action that you lost the main story that the book was written about. And stuff like that happens all the time, unfortunately.
I guess the purpose gets altered as to the scope of audience that they want to capture. And they figure, well, who cares? There's going to be fewer people out there who recognize and realize it has been altered than the amount of people that they want to capture with the new version. That's what I think is going on, and I don't like it. How you doing there, Ed?
I'm fine. I was telling Charlie I just got home, so I'm sitting here on the driveway. But let me say something. On the other hand, the new A Star is Born, my wife saw it, and she loved it. I think the point of A Star is Born is the story is very simple. A famous singer meets a girl who he thinks has a lot of talent, but she's shy. And he gets her to perform with him. But then when she passes and becomes more famous than he is, he just completely unravels and falls apart. It's a story that's been addressed many times. And as long as you keep within that constraint, you can make a good movie. And I think every time they remake that movie, it's different. Just as long as it follows those basic three or four points. And so you have flexibility there. But when you're telling a detailed story, it falls apart.
I understand what you're saying. And like I said, I believe that the remake, the people that are actually producing or rewriting or whatever, know that there is a level of audience that is going to say, hey, this has changed. But I believe that their intent is to capture a greater audience with the newer version. And a lot of times, details are changed or omitted. And, as you were just mentioning with that story about that ship in the Pacific, that you had witnessed the fact that there were two two alternate stories at a midpoint that could actually have changed the outcome. Now, I don't want to go into the details, but I think, I don't know whether they do it to put more excitement or romanticism. I don't mean romantic relationships. I mean romanticism to reach your heart, so to say. Or, I don't know, but I believe they want to alter the story to capture a larger audience.
Yeah, well, actually, the first statement, I believe, was incorrect. Leaving that out, or even changing it, doesn't change the outcome. But I felt it makes it a much better, tighter story, more believable. Remember, it's complete fiction. But it's, you know, more believable. And regarding a movie, it was an excuse to throw in some combat footage, which really wasn't there in the original movie. Maybe it just was a low-budget movie and didn't have the budget for combat. But really, the only time the ship is in combat, is after the mutiny. And, I mean, how much would it take to just have a radio man read the message as I described it to you, then show some stock footage, and just have, like, you know, one or two quick scenes, you know, like a little montage of 10-second clips. I don't think it would have taken more than 3-4 minutes extra to the movie to do the whole thing. And I think it would have made it a much more believable story. All right. Let me run here. Always a pleasure. You enjoy. WB2FIU. No. KB2. Whatever the hell it is. FIU. You know who you are. WB2EAV Mobile.
Very good, Ed. And as we've always said, it doesn't matter what I call you as long as I get my own one right. I got to call myself the right one. WB2EAV, KD2FYU.
The SEC requires us to identify ourselves. There's no legal requirement that we identify any other station, and certainly not that we get their call correct. Enjoy.
And that's what I said. It doesn't matter what I call you as long as I call myself the right thing.
Hey, George, and one YDY.
KD2FIU. KD2FIU. N2HH.
Hey, how you doing? Sporting a real nice heavy-duty cold. How you doing there?
Alrighty, George. You're a little noisy. You're staticking into the machine. I'm not sure if you're in a car or you're at home with an HT.
No, I'm at home, and you have static on your signal also.
Alright. This must be the static state. Alrighty, George. Yeah, so everything's fine here. And, see, I think where I left off with you was, you had gotten a piece of, I'm not sure if you want to talk about that now, but, part of a certain model antenna.
Kind of like not pursuing much of any of that right now. I hope to pick it up in a week or two. Right now my concern is whether or not I could provide myself to be getting back and forth to Manhattan for this week's and next week's attention, so to say, for the assistance and that I'm providing. I don't want to go into detail with that. So I woke up with this cold yesterday, and it seems to be getting worse, and I just hope it doesn't preclude me from being in those facilities where the attention has got to be given the other half.
Oh, yeah, okay, I got it. Yeah, you know, there's something, aside there, listening to, that, something I never gave much attention to, although I could look at some schematics and otherwise maybe do some math, but on the output of, a typical tube amplifier, is there an impedance? I mean, I would imagine there's got to be a measurement of impedance, but I mean, is it necessarily is it particular? Is it always something like 50 ohms, or is it all? It could be anything, or all over the place. That's one thing I've never read, heard, or anybody. I heard no one ever talk about that before.
You're talking about the antenna hookup on the output of an amplifier?
Yeah, I guess basically that's what I'm asking. With a tube amplifier, for instance, I think there's something that I have, like an AL-88. I'd have to look at the schematic. I'd like to know is every tube amplifier the same relative impedance? It depends on the tubes, or you know, what are the variables? I've never read or heard anybody talking about that before.
Good point. You know, unbalanced, is it? Well, not even let's just say precisely, but is it 48 to 52 ohms, or is it 70 ohms? It should be 48 to 52. That's just an assumption. But good point.
Comment and 1YDY.
Yes, and let me make sure I still have it before I pick up YDY. Yeah, of course, you know, during the TechNet, I'm at the salt mine, and times, even on Echolink, it's hard to get in there, but I didn't really try it. I've had trouble in the past. But, not anybody situation specifically, but, of course, we all know what was the conversation. But my idea, something that crossed my mind was with a tube amplifier, you know, what's the integrity of that or that circuit, and how important is that? And if there's something amiss there, whether it's high impedance, bad SATA connection, or corrosion, or this X, Y, and Z, and on and on and on. But that was one of my troubleshooting hints on that matter. One of many, actually, but that was just one across my mind, and in general, did not know the answer to that question. But I'm going to turn it over to YDY. This is Handy Andy, N2HUH, and in conversation with George, FIU. I can't even remember the prefix, but go ahead, YDY.
Yes.
Okay, I heard someone else. I didn't quite copy the other station's call sign, but Andy and George, good morning or good afternoon to both of you. And not too long ago, I was trying to troubleshoot my Heathkit SB200, and I found some Heathkit literature. Now, this stuff was published in the early 60s, like 62, that specifically said that both their 200 and their 220 were designed for 50 ohm impedance. They called it 52 ohm impedance, and that they said it was a characteristic of the tank circuit that the tube fed. And I'm not really sure exactly if that's a universal thing or if that's just specific to Heathkit, but that's in there in literature. And 1YDY.
WB2CSE.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hi. I just wanted to see if Richie was over here. K2KND, WB2CSE. Okay, I got a phone call. Thanks, guys. WB2ZSC.
All righty, let me see if I have it. Yeah, so my point, yeah, let's say it's designed for 42 to 58 ohms or something along those lines, but then what can cause a variable there? What variable can cause a non-compliance to that figure. You know, is it a cold solder joint? Is it depending on what component or device is there, or is it just corrosion, or on, et cetera, that would cause that to change and lose contact or lose connection, anything. And that's just one of the things, you know, there's so many in a radio system, you know, from transceiver to tuner, amplifier tuner to Balun to antenna connection, but what's inside every component, every connection in every component, transceiver, exciter, or amplifier, tuner, you know, every component has to have a certain amount of integrity for the specs to be accurate. You know, and it just, that's what goes to my mind of how many variables there are when it comes to troubleshooting, from my experience.
Well, KD2FIU here. I believe what Hank was saying there was that with the classic, I'll call it the classic, the SD200, manufactured from what? Well, no, not manufactured. The user would manufacture it, or the assembler who purchased it would manufacture, I think, 62 to 83 classic design. And I believe, Hank, you said that the impedance of the output was a function of the tuning of the tank circuit. Is that what you said?
I don't think it was the tuning. I think it was the fundamental design. There was a certain resonance at which it worked. But getting to Andy's initial question about how many components, I think last night somebody mentioned saturation of the Balun as being a possibility, and it strikes me as that's the thing that is the most likely to change with time, because the core material doesn't remain the same, or if it's ever abused, there can be permanent change in the toroidal cores of a lot of Balun. So I'm not really sure where we're going with the conversation, but it strikes me that there's just, like Andy said, a lot of variables, but you got to figure out which one is where you're going to look first.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to get onto a specific problem or inquiry or anything. It's just a general crossed my mind from last night, and now hearing George on. Actually, I could go. I could actually move on to another subject entirely, but with George. But I guess there's always time for that. But yeah, these are the things that crossed my mind. And I've never actually done measurements myself. I mean, I'm looking at two HF amplifiers, and one is going to be a single tube, the other one is going to be a twin tube, and I'm not sure, even right there there's a difference. I mean, there's so many variables with would cause that impedance, whatever the measurements would be on the actual amplifier. So, we don't know where to go with the conversation either, because I don't want to get too specific. All right, I think I have enough information, and I'm just going to give that some attention in the future when I'm looking at amplifier specs and schematics.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Sometimes I would wonder where those 10, 11 meter... Antennas, the output, the impedance of them wound up. But Hank, I don't know. I just believe that some basic isolation could have been done. You see, the design of those Cobra antennas, each leg is three elements folded, and it's done like that it has a fundamental frequency of resonance, and it also will, on the bands that you tune it to, will have harmonics intentionally created to give you wider bandwidth. And so I was just wondering if that fundamental frequency was as prescribed and designed. We don't know if the antenna is touching something or has one of those three folds that went open in it. And that would eliminate the antenna, just if it was on the fundamental frequency. Hank, I think you know where I'm going with it. Let me recycle the repeater and come back. FIU. And another thing is did this system ever work? The assembly of these components that are there, did it ever work properly? Okay, then something did go wrong. So get the balun out of the picture and take the output of the amplifier and run it full into a dummy mode and see if there are any variations on the bands that you want to work. Now you're left with the tuner, and then the balun. I'm a little confused to say, okay, we got these four elements and the antenna as a device being one of the elements. Let's just eliminate, totally just cut out of the picture elements on each end. Because we're in there before we know what went wrong with the balun or the tuner. We don't know if it is precisely it. Isolate to it and then tear it down.
I've got to agree. Let me see if I got it. I've got to agree. You know, the use of a dummy load really helps you to isolate it because you can, you know, start at one end and work your way across and find out where the fault is. But the issue is whether or not this Cobra antenna can possibly work with the balun and the high power. Now, one of the problems you have with something like a Cobra, I once had many years ago, and I don't know if this is relevant or not, but I had a sand dipole out in the woods behind a place where I used to live, and it would tune on anything, but the only reason it would tune was because it would mutually resonate against itself, and so it was really a lousy antenna. It was a lousy dipole for any of the three or four different bands, I can't remember what I built, but together they all would resonate against each other and give you a fairly wide, deliberately ambiguous pattern when you fed it with a good tuner.
Okay, turning it over to Andy. Andy, I don't know if we're talking about or were able to listen in last night on the TechNet, and I would say from about 2045 to 2115 our time here. So over to you, Andy.
Yeah, I was listening in, and of course I had my own questions. You know, like you said, particularly, did it work at one time? Was the when it did work, was it the same balun, or was it a different one, or was no balun, and all that? But anyway, so many variables, and I had my own questions. But of course, I didn't participate because I was always being interrupted. Being at the salt mine, so I didn't. I can't really partake in that. But I know what I would do in my situation. Of course, if it was all mine, if I was having that situation, I have my my troubleshooting procedure and the way I would do it. Maybe else would have theirs. So many variables there too. And I personally don't use balance per se. I guess I could or would maybe. Sorry, but I like the method I chose, and again, I work from 160 meters to 6 meters with the same antenna, two of them actually, two different styles, and 160 meters to 6 meters, and 90-something percent of that is with the same type, two different types of, same types of systems, and 100 watts to a kilowatt, and doing that for quite a while, and I've not had a problem, or at least a problem that I couldn't solve. So I think I have a right to, you know, talk about it. I'm sure you're the same, and I guess that's why we're here talking about it. N2HUH.
I don't know. I had to go catch my nose running.